back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Gillette.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm getting ready to go to the, head over to the Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Carnival Sunday afternoon at the Wells Fargo Center.
Okay, that sounds like, that's why you're at my house at like 4 o'clock this morning.
It's 9:30. It's a half hour earlier than I'm usually
it's
here.
It's too early.
I asked Mike if I could come a half hour earlier, and he goes, all right.
I had to roll out of bed at like 4 in the morning, get ready. Like, it's a whole big thing.
We got a meet and greet with Robert Hagg to get to.
Wow, that sounds super exciting.
Before we get into today's show, you can find the show on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, Spotify, and YouTube. And I mean, that's about that. And let's get into it.
Okay. Do people listen on YouTube? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I've looked at our numbers, and we haven't really gotten a ton of YouTube numbers.
All right, so go over and check that out.
Yeah, check out our YouTube page.
Let us know what you think. What sort of stuff you want over there. Because we didn't do the vlog that you said you were gonna send to me.
No, I ended up feeling lazy. Really, really awkward about that. Okay. It wasn't really laziness. It was. I did it. I recorded a bunch of stuff. I just felt real awkward about it and never sent it to you. Okay. So
yeah, check that out. Let us know what you want in the future.
Maybe not a vlog. But maybe I'll shoot some footage from the carnival if there's anything interesting going on, and we can throw that up there.
There you go.
But you know, that'll be fun. I think you and you and the wife and the kid should come next year.
Maybe. I don't know if I've ever been to a carnival. Maybe once when I was like...
Dude, the Flyers Wives Carnival is cool, man. I was there last year.
Were you? I was probably there when I was like 11 or 12. I was at the Eagles one when I was probably around that same age.
Yeah, you know, the Flyers have been doing it for 42 years.
Have they really?
Yeah. It's been around forever.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty cool. It'll be... If you come check it out next year, it'll be really good, because at that point, your daughter will be old enough to at least know what's going on a little bit.
Right.
And yeah, it's cool, man. You can like meet players, you can play games with players, there's carnival rides, you can, you know, shoot a puck at, you know, on the ice at the net. It's neat.
Right.
It's neat.
Maybe.
Like, everything's overpriced because it's all for charity.
Of course.
But you can, this year, it's a new thing, you can bid on player baskets. Like, the players put together a little basket. Most random item I saw, I looked through them. Every player had a basket. Hackstall had a basket. Lappy had a basket. Travis Sanheim's basket contains the complete series of Friends on DVD.
You know, somebody will want
it's
that.
It's so random.
Yeah, that is random.
And you can tell the bad players threw jerseys in there, and that's why their prices are higher.
Right.
Because they're signed jerseys.
Yeah.
But no, there's some neat stuff.
So he put the collection to the most overrated television show of all time.
That's not even close to being true. Friends is great.
Nah, it's overrated. I didn't say it was bad.
My stepmother will fight you over this one.
Okay. Tell her to bring it. But I don't know. It's overrated. I didn't say it was bad. It was just overrated.
Friends is phenomenal.
Okay.
How can you call it overrated when Seinfeld existed at the same time?
I agree. Seinfeld is overrated.
How can you call it the most overrated TV show when it was literally on the air at the same time as Seinfeld?
That's true. Yeah, I'm not really a Seinfeld fan.
I think you and I missed Seinfeld generationally.
It just wasn't about anything. Like, it was a show about nothing.
And that's literally the point. And there are people who get it.
Maybe if it was somebody funnier than Jerry Seinfeld. Like, I don't find him funny at all.
That's fair.
Let's just talk about this for an hour.
Hey, listen, I'm fine with this. Yeah. We said day one of this podcast, you go back and listen to episode one.
A little cringy, but you know.
It's rough. But we do talk about the fact that we're going to go off on tangents.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're friends. We're buddies. We're going to sit here and hang out.
So let's just talk for an hour about overrated TV shows.
Listen, that's fine, because it's better than talking about overrated hockey teams. And the Flyers went 0-2-1 this week.
They did. Smooth transition
there. I know. They became the ninth team in NHL history to erase a 4-goal deficit in the third period.
In the last 10 minutes.
No. They're the ninth team to ever do it in the third period. They're the first to do it in the last 10 minutes, I believe.
Okay. I thought it was the ninth in the last 10 minutes.
So, yeah, they're down 5-1 and then just bang, 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 tie game.
Here's a thought. You play good.
Play like that the whole game.
Exactly. Play like that the whole game.
Yeah,
you don't have to come back from 4 goals.
I mean, like, I understand, but I don't know.
I mean, the one thing it showed me is that there's somewhere in this team, there's a little bit of heart that I didn't think they had. Because literally right before, I think, the second goal or the third goal, I sent you a message and I said, when's this team going to show some heart?
Yeah, you did.
They were
getting bullied. Right after Tampa scored the 5-1 goal, you sent me a text saying, where's the heart on this team?
Yep.
And then they scored 2 and 3, and I sent you a message back saying, right about there.
It shows me they have a little bit of heart. Yeah. Now, I would like them to show that more. Because you know, it was on a milk carton.
Okay, speaking
recently, but
speaking of Hart, I'm gonna do another little smooth transition. Carter Hart played for the Phantoms last night.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip of Michael Haley?
Yeah, I did.
Hitting him and TJ Brennan stepping in.
Yeah, I saw it.
Haley's a scumbag.
I mean, he's always been that type of player.
He led the NHL. Couldn't... He had 22 fights last year.
Yeah, and the Flyers still don't have a single one, I don't believe.
No, they don't.
So, trade for Michael Haley.
Yeah. trade Dale Weiss for Michael Haley.
But,
by the way, did you know what Reddit calls Dale Weiss?
No, because I hate Reddit.
They refer to him as Dutch Gretzky. That's stupid.
I don't. What do you mean? I don't get it.
They call him Dutch Gretzky.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a thing.
Okay. I hate Reddit.
Sure.
They banned our podcast, essentially. I don't like them.
Reddit, if you're listening, I love
F you. Nope.
Kyle loves
you. Nope. Reddit sucks. Lose all credibility. you block me.
They refer
the hell
to,
out of here.
They refer to him as Dutch Gretzky.
I don't even know where did that originate.
I don't
Why?
Know.
Okay.
I don't know. But when he scored that goal the other day against, I think it was Arizona.
The breakaway goal? And then he had a chance again to do it on Saturday.
So. Yeah. By the way, why did Louis Domingue play like Patrick Waugh in the first period? Flyers took 18 shots.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty good since Vasilevskiy went down. I mean, Vasilevskiy's out for like 4 to 6 weeks.
Louis Domingue is not that good.
No, but Tampa's, I mean, he's always been a good backup.
Flyers had 18 shots.
The quality of shot.
You can't get
too.
18 shots.
Nah,
they had some good chances.
No, they really didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they had a couple of decent chances, but nothing. He didn't make
you should
any...
have beat Louis Domingue at some point
of
in
course.
That first period.
Just like you should have beat Kincaid. But, I mean, these things happen. I
it's
mean,
a little different. Kincaid is their starter now.
I mean, if you want to call it that, fine. But goalies get hot. That's what they do. I mean, the Flyers carried Michael Layton into the Stanley Cup final. So,
they sure did.
I mean, goalies get hot.
Yeah.
You just got to find ways to beat them.
And that's why the conversation we had, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, about you comparing this team to the 2010 Hawks.
Yeah.
I say it. And that team won the Stanley Cup.
They did win the Stanley Cup. I think this team has more question marks. Like I compared it to the players, in a sense, that I think player comparisons are there.
Okay.
But, again, I think coaching is an issue. I'm laying off the coach a little bit.
Right.
I'm not in the whole fire Hextall mode yet as much as I was. But
right.
But still, I mean, Provorov is starting to worry me. He just doesn't look good on a game-to-game basis. I mean, that's...
I don't know if he's nicked up and not telling anybody, or somebody's got to figure it out.
I don't know if I buy that aspect of it, because a lot of it...
Well, let's put it this way.
A lot of it just seems mental. He's just making the bad play. It's not like he doesn't have the skill set to do it. He's just making the bad hockey play.
If he's 100% physically and playing like this, there's a problem.
Yeah. And then even guys like Konechny, I don't think have taken the next step that we all thought he was going to.
I think Konechny was doing good things and not really getting bounces. And hockey is a game of inches, right? So you can be playing really, really well, and then when the bounces aren't going your way, you look pretty bad. And then when the bounces start going your way, you look better. And I think Konechny has been playing really well, not getting the bounces.
He just doesn't have the same speed that I thought he was going to have. The same, now, I don't know if aggression is the right word, but attack, I guess.
He scored 2 yesterday, and after the first one, he looked relieved.
Sure.
I was that his first of the year? I'm not sure.
His second, maybe? Hold on.
His first in a while.
Hold on, let me look that up. Speaking of people who scored first goals, Erik Karlsson scored his first last
as
night.
A Shark, yeah. We talked about that last week. But, no, I think that was Konechny's first game since, like, since the the first couple of games.
It was kind of his fourth goal of the season.
Oh, really? I think it was his first in a while.
It might have been,
And he looked relieved. He looked like he got the monkey off his back.
Right.
Maybe, just maybe, we have TK back.
Maybe.
Right? But... Well, that was also his third and fourth of the season. Right?
No, his fourth and fifth.
Oh, fourth and fifth?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means he had three before this.
Speaking of another guy who scored his first goal, JVR.
JVR, first...
Sorry, I almost made you choke on your coffee there.
Yeah, you did. His first re-goal is a Flyer.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because he's back.
He's back. But... Yeah, maybe earning that $7 million.
It's way too early to start making judgments about that.
Obviously.
He had 36 goals last year for Toronto.
That's for Toronto. But
yeah, but he was playing on the second or third line.
He's playing on third line, yeah.
Yeah, he was playing with Tyler Bozak as a center.
Sure.
Scott Lawton's a better third line center than that.
I disagree.
I'd say they're about the same. You know what? I would put them about on the same level.
That's probably fair.
I'd put them about on the same level.
I mean, I think Bozak has more of a pedigree and like resume. So I would lean towards Bozak.
Scott Lawton hasn't gotten the ice time. Scott Lawton's also younger than Tyler Bozak.
Oh, by probably 7-8 years.
Right. So he hasn't had the time to.
Right. Of course.
He's on the starting end of assembling that resume.
Right.
But no, if your third line is Simmons, Lawton, JVR, you're going to do some damage. You're going to do some damage.
A yes and no. Just because, like, I know he had I think one goal yesterday, Simmons, right? One. He had the tying goal.
One, but he was in the play for every single... seemed like every single
goal. He had a decent game on Saturday. He just doesn't have it anymore. Like, I'm just watching him, and he always seems like a half step or a step behind
everybody. That's why you signed JVR.
JVR... My point is the line with JVR, Lawton, and I know Lawton brings a little bit of speed, but Lawton, yeah. JVR, and Simmons... Simmons and JVR really aren't quick, and Simmons is just losing a step, it feels like. So it's a slow line, so I don't love that aspect of that line, but Lawton can bring a little bit of speed. So
now maybe when, you know, if Verobia finds his game and comes back up, maybe he plays center with them. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think just
to bring a little speed, because he's a little quicker than Lawton is.
Not much. And a little bit, but he hasn't really brought anything when he was here his first stint.
No, so. I know, but I trust that he'll find it a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
I know there was talk about it before the season a little bit, not really much. If Morgan Frost had made the team, would he be a good center for those two?
I could see that. He brings speed. He was a little small.
Yeah,
so,
but you have Simmons and JVR there to protect them.
Exactly. So, I mean, it could work.
Okay, and obviously it can't happen now.
Right, and he obviously would have had to adapt to the speed and the size of the NHL. I mean, speaking of Carter Hart, you're seeing him, he's struggling right now with the adapt.
He's starting to come back. I don't know if you're
watching. Yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, but he's, generally speaking, he's starting to kind of rebound a little bit. He started pretty tough. He's adjusting to it. And yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time.
He just got pulled yesterday, 2 days ago. I mean, he let up 3 goals on 7 or 8 shots.
Yeah, and there's people on the internet saying that they should have called him up instead of Lyon. No.
No.
No. Let him continue to adjust.
Yeah, have we touched on that Brian Elliott news last week, or did that come out this week?
It came out after. I was actually at the game on Thursday, and he left that game with the injury.
Yeah, so he's out 2 weeks.
Brian Elliott's out 2 weeks. Yeah. Michael Neuwirth isn't expected to be back.
He's still MIA. Who the hell knows where Michael Neuwirth is?
He's expected to be back.
Has he played a game yet?
I think, three.
Doesn't feel like it.
He's expected to be back within about the next 2 weeks, so about the same timetable as Brian Elliott.
And then when they both come back, they'll both go down again?
Yep. So for now, your Flyers goaltending tandem is Cal Pickard and Alex Lyon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate Alex Lyon.
He's fine. He's not going to be an everyday starter for anybody. I mean, he could be a fine backup.
But if he's the backup of the future for Carter Hart, I'm happy with him playing 15 or 20 games anywhere.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I think he could weather that storm.
I agree. I think he's not insanely talented. He might be a healthier Michael Neuwirth in terms of caliber.
I actually think Michael Neuwirth, when healthy, is a really good goalie.
Yeah, but he's not...
I think he's a very good goalie.
But he's not... an elite starter.
No, he's not terrible.
He's a very good backup.
Okay, there's only 3 to 5 elite starters a year. So, I mean, but I think he'd be a very, very good goalie.
I agree.
If he wasn't hurt all the time. He's just made of glass.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
I think Alex Lyon has that kind of talent. He's very good. I don't think he has the talent to do it every night, but he has the talent to be a very good backup.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so funny thing I wanted to touch on, November 18th, 2018, 11-18-18.
Okay.
We're about 20 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Penguins are last in the East.
They are.
Feels good.
I don't expect that to continue. I just don't.
No, they're only three. I think they're only 3 or 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
It's unreal, the East, by the way.
Yeah, and when Crosby wants to turn it on, he can.
And he doesn't usually do that until January.
Exactly.
I know.
So, they're going to be in the playoffs again. And I'm sure. They're going to get far in the playoffs again.
Oh, I'm
that's
sure.
That's just who Pittsburgh is. I mean, just imagine them getting Jack Hughes, though. Ooh.
I know. It's unreal. Like,
yeah.
It's a long con, right? Your center depth next year is Crosby, Malkin, Hughes.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's unreal.
Broussard, fourth line center.
Right. Broussard is a fourth line center at that
point. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably Hughes at fourth line, but still unreal.
That is nuts. But it won't happen because they're going to make the playoffs. I don't see this trend continue to happen with the Islanders and the Rangers.
Jack Hughes is going to Colorado with the Ottawa pick.
It could happen.
It's going to happen. 100%.
God, how bad do you
guaranteed.
Feel?
Guaranteed.
Ottawa.
I don't know. Brady Tkachuk's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, but they had a chance to. I mean, they could have, if they didn't make that trade, they could have had both of them.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean,
the Duchene trade just wasn't a good one for them.
It ended up not working out. You know, is there a problem with Matt Duchene?
That's a loaded question. In what way?
Colorado was pretty bad. They were mediocre. He gets traded. Nathan MacKinnon breathes a sigh of relief and puts up an MVP caliber season, ends up getting nominated for the Hart.
Yeah.
Ottawa, coming off the Eastern Conference Finals, started
hot. Everybody knows that was a fluke.
Sure. Started hot, added Duchene, the locker room falls apart.
So you're thinking this is a internal locker room issue, on the ice.
Listen.
But you're not bringing up his ice at all, right?
No. I'm not talking about play at all because he's a very good player. All
right.
I acknowledge that Matt Duchene is a very good player. But who's the guy who did the most talking in that Uber video?
Was it Duchene?
It was Matt Duchene. And
I don't know.
He, you know, there's an argument that he ruined Colorado. There's an argument that he's ruining Ottawa.
I don't know.
Let's put it this way. Agent market, I don't want him.
Well, that was my next point is, like, if I'm him, I'm doing everything I can to avoid that narrative because I believe after this year he is a UFA.
He's a UFA after this season.
So, I mean, it goes to the same
situation.
Which means
Ottawa is going to be trying to trade him once they fall out of playoff contention, right?
But it goes to the same situation of the Manny Machado stuff where it's like, oh, you're in the playoffs, so you're about to be a free agent in a month.
Which, by the way, the Phillies have pulled out of the Manny Machado race.
Reportedly.
But yeah, we'll talk about that.
But he pulled the antics about the Johnny Hustle stuff, and I'm not Johnny Hustle, right before you're going to be a free agent. So I don't
see... You're hurting your own value.
Yeah, so I don't see why Duchene would...
Well, I don't think he's doing it on purpose.
No, but you should do everything in your power to make sure people know you're a good teammate.
If you're a crappy person, like... You can't change.
I'm not ready to call him a crappy person.
I think there's a real chance. Like, there's a chance he's a crappy teammate.
I mean, there's always that chance.
I'm not commenting
on
Matt Duchene as a person. Like, I don't know who he is as a person, but it's starting to look like he's not a great teammate.
I mean, maybe.
Just look at what Colorado did. Colorado didn't add anybody in that deal. Turris went from Ottawa to Nashville. Duchene went from Colorado to Ottawa. All Colorado got was draft picks.
Yeah.
And then they made the playoffs.
Well, no, Colorado also got Sam Girard from Nashville.
Okay, sure, but Sam Girard wasn't a huge piece last year. He was fine, but he wasn't.
They got him as a potential guy that has really high upside.
But he didn't help that team last year very much.
He played 70 games.
Okay, but did he help that team win 10, 15 extra games? Was he
Probably
a better
not.
Player last year than Matt Duchene should be?
No.
Okay, so they downgraded.
Sure.
all they...
No, also different positions, so it's a little different.
The on-ice product downgraded for the Colorado Avalanche on paper, and yet they made the playoffs, and Nathan MacKinnon was an MVP candidate.
Yeah. And they had it... I mean, Mika Rantanen's so good.
I mean, I understand that. They're, yeah, Colorado's really good.
Mika Rantanen's really freaking good.
Mika Rantanen's good. Tyson Jost?
Yeah.
Colin Jost? Tyson...
Colin Jost is the guy from SNL.
You're right. Tyson Jost is very good. They have a bunch of good young players. Colorado's going to be good for a while if they can get goaltending.
Yeah, for sure.
If they can get goaltending.
Yeah, and I mean, they have a solid tandem. Varlamov started the year really, really good.
Yeah, Varlamov can get hot, and when he's hot, he's fine.
And Grubauer's always been the guy that's been competing for a starting job. So he's got a pretty good upside, too.
Yeah, I wonder if he signed in Colorado thinking he'd be the guy.
I don't know if he'll be the guy, because you went there knowing they had Varlamov.
Yeah, but he also won that job from Holtby last year towards the end of the regular season.
I don't know if he won it.
The last 10 or 15 games, he started most of them. He won that job.
Yeah, and they even started him in the first two games of the playoffs.
I know.
Then they went 0-2 and started Holtby, and then they go on and win the
he
cup.
He won that job from Holtby. Now, if he had re-signed there, I don't know if he would have challenged Holtby for the starting job this year, just because of how much you're paying Holtby.
Right, and because Holtby just helped you win a cup.
Right.
So,
but... you know, it's the same situation as Kincaid and Schneider in Florida, or in New Jersey.
Right.
Kincaid has taken that job.
Yeah.
Now, New Jersey's in trouble because Schneider makes a ton of money for, like, six more years.
Yeah.
So they better figure something out. They either need to trade Kincaid and make Schneider a starter again, or...
Well, Schneider's also battled his fair share of injuries, too.
I know. But you got him for six more years. You can't buy him out. It's going to be hard to trade him. You got to make that contract work.
Right.
Right? Like, you got to make that contract work.
Yeah. All right, back to the Flyers. Yeah, apparently anyway. We're an NHL podcast.
We both like hockey. We'll talk about it. You know. Flyers, why is Carnival today? I talked about that. Upcoming this week for the Flyers, let's go through the games. Wednesday night, you're in Buffalo to face the Sabres. What do you think?
The Sabres are hot. They're scoring a lot of goals. Jeff Skinner's starting to feel comfortable in his new role.
Dahlin is starting to get comfortable.
Yeah. Lehner has been playing really well.
Yeah, he has.
Now that he's getting his life together. I just found out that
he's... Robin Lehner's in the island.
No, he's... Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is. Try again.
He is. Okay. Carter Hutton, I believe.
There you go.
Yes, okay. I'll get to the Robin Lehner stuff in a little bit. I've always forget about Robin Lehner and Carter Hutton. And whatever. They're the same person. All right.
Sure.
It's like Alex Smith, Case Keenum, and who else am I?
Can't even think of them.
No, I can't, because they're all the same people.
Anyway.
But Buffalo's hot. So
Buffalo's hot.
This is going to be a tough game. They have all the skill in the world. Mittelstadt's really good, even though he hasn't really hit the next level yet, or really hit any level yet.
Eichel is obviously Jack Eichel.
Yeah. Yep. Where's the Linens? I mean, playing really, really well.
Yep. Darlene's starting to get comfortable at the NHL level.
So this is a loss for the Flyers.
Okay. No, it's tough. Flyers tend to play up to the level of their competition. And if Buffalo comes in strong, that means the Flyers will come in strong. I think they'll take this game. I think the Flyers will take
Of course you do.
Of course. And then, Thursday's an off day for Thanksgiving. American Thanksgiving.
Right. I mean, listen, the Flyers have always been this type of team where they win five straight, then they lose four or five. So they're either going to go, how many games they have this week? Three? They're either going to go 3-0 or 0-3.
Maybe. Like, or maybe this is the flip week. You went 0-3 this week, 0-2-1. So maybe you lose to Buffalo and then flip and win on Friday and Saturday. Friday, you have the Rangers at home in the annual Black Friday game. It's always the Rangers. It's always on...
A couple years ago, it was Winnipeg or somebody.
Usually the Rangers.
Yeah.
I think it's been the Rangers like five out of the last 6 years. It's almost always the Rangers. It's a 1 o'clock game, Black Friday, Wells Fargo Center.
It's weird. There's one game on Thursday.
Who's that? Not American teams, right?
One American team. Yeah, it is the...
Really?
Yeah, it's the Edmonton Oilers at the San Jose Sharks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What time is that game?
10:30, so 7:30 start
A 7:30 start. Interesting. They're competing with the NFL.
Yeah. That is interesting for
maybe,
sure.
But maybe they figure by then the NFL will be just about done for the day. No, the NFL does 3 games.
Yeah, there's, what are they, 12:30, 4:30, 8:30?
Some garbage. The Lions, the Cowboys, and somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, the games were terrible this year. I'll talk about that.
They're always terrible.
We'll talk about that in the Eagles segment.
No, it's interesting the NHL's trying to kind of vaguely go head-to-head with the NFL. Although I guess neither of those cities have NFL teams.
I mean, if you want to call, I mean, San Francisco is pretty close to San Jose, now.
Yeah, they're on the other side of the bay, but they technically San Jose doesn't have an NFL team. So, right. I mean, maybe you're trying to dip your toe in the market and see if you can play with the NFL on Thanksgiving, you know, one of the big NFL days.
Right.
But regardless, Flyers play the Rangers on Black Friday. What do you think?
Flyers play, the Rangers are surprising everybody. They just made a trade. They traded Ryan Spooner for Ryan Strome. Traded the Ryans.
Yeah, apparently. What do you think of that?
It's a trade where both guys are struggling. It's sort of like the Hagelin and Pearson deal.
Yeah, both deals that happened within the last week. We haven't talked about either of them.
Yeah, it's they're trades that both guys are struggling.
It's a shake it up trade.
Exactly. Both guys are struggling, and I don't think the talent level is all that far off from Strome to Spooner. Yeah. No, I don't even know necessarily who's better. They're very comparable players. They're just both struggling.
Yeah, you're trading mid-level guys. Right. You're not trading
Strome,
superstars.
Strome at one point was a fifth overall pick and just hasn't lived up to that sort of hype.
Right.
But he's been like a decent third line player.
Right. You're trading third liners, essentially.
I think he had 35 points last year and a lot of time playing with McDavid, so that's a little concerning.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're playing with McDavid, you should put up 50 easily. But
yeah. A sack of potatoes can put up 50 points with McDavid. Milan Lucic can put up 50 points with McDavid.
So,
by the way, did you see any of their game last night?
What games? The
Oilers and the Flames?
No. I saw the Flames 1-4-2.
Man, there was some heat in that game.
Was there?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big rivalry up there.
Sportsnet put out a video. It was all the scrums and the fights and the big hits. Drysdale was laying some big hits. There was a couple of fights. Like, it was a good physical game. You know, the Battle of Alberta.
Right, and that's a big rivalry up there.
But yeah, and again, we'll mention that the Flyers are 19-20 games in without a fight.
Yeah, Edslander's rolling over in his grave right now.
Flyers do not have a fighting major on the year. Now, Wayne Simmons got a 10-minute misconduct on Thursday, which, I mean, his gloves were off. You could have called it a fight.
Right.
But instead, they didn't call it a fighting major. They just gave him a 10. They didn't give him 2. They didn't give him 5.
Right.
They just gave him a 10.
Yeah, and then Voracek tried real hard to fight on Saturday against, I forget who, Ryan Callahan maybe? I forget who it was, but if there's somebody, you know, basically punched Oscar Lindblom in the face.
Oh, yeah. That was ugly.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of Jacob Voracek, I'm blocked on Twitter.
I know you are.
just wanted to send that out there.
Yeah, we had a conversation about that. I sent out a tweet from our account at YWT Podcast and said that, you know, if we ever get blocked by Jake, we'll wear it as a badge of honor. And, you know, took a little shot at him. And, you know, Mike took another shot. And
mine apparently crossed over the line.
Yeah, no, I'm still convinced that you had kind of been blocked for a while.
I've never said anything bad about Voracek before.
Ah, that's a lie.
Not on Twitter, I don't think.
That's a lie.
So unless he listens to this podcast, hi, Jake.
hey, Jake, how you doing,
So unless
buddy?
He listens to this podcast, like, I don't think I've ever said anything on Twitter about
him. Yeah, but I also know that Jake tends to crawl all over hockey forums internet.
Like, he's
definitely on HOF boards.
Yeah, he definitely has giant rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for sure.
He's definitely on HOF boards. Like, he's made comments on Twitter about HOF board postings.
Oh, has he really?
Oh, like, multiple times.
Well, I can't look at him, so.
I'll show you later. Log into our podcast account and you can take a look.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'll do that.
You can do a little lurking.
Exactly. But no, he's a mental midget and he's got rabbit ears. So, I lost respect for him after this.
Mike's reblocked. Now the podcast account's blocked.
Yeah. I wouldn't care. We don't need Jake Voracek. Stop turning the puck over at the opposing blue line.
Hey, Jake, if you're going to block us, come on the show and tell us why you're blocking us.
He won't do that. He won't defend himself.
Anyway, I think they can beat the Rangers on Black Friday.
They can beat the Rangers. The Rangers are playing really good hockey right now.
Yep. And then Saturday night, you go into Toronto to play the Maple Leafs.
They might go 0-3.
Yeah, that Maple Leafs team is ugly, man. They're Matthews ridiculous. Matthews might be ready for that game.
Well, really?
He skated with the team this week. I can't imagine he's terribly far off.
I haven't been playing close attention. How have they been doing without Matthews?
7-3.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, they don't have Nylander for the whole season so far. They're still winning a bunch of games.
Which,
Matthews goes down. They're still winning a bunch of games.
By the
ridiculous.
Way, a report came out this weekend that apparently they're willing to let him sit the year.
Are they really?
Yeah. Which
call,
is
call his bluff.
Now that might just be a power move on their part to try to get him to call his bluff, but imagine if they let him sit for a year.
Yeah.
And now they have to re-sign Matthews, Marner, and Nylander at the same time.
Right.
That's ugly, man. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how the RFA thing really works in the NHL all that much. Like,
it's complicated.
Like, after December 1st, I understand he's ineligible to play for the rest of the year.
He can go play in Europe.
But can they still trade his rights and he just can't play with that team until the following year?
Yeah, they can still trade his rights up until the trade deadline.
Okay, so they still have until the trade. You might see that happen if he does sit out.
I don't think so.
He might go to a team that's, you know, like the Kings or somebody who's really low in the standings. And
the Kings can't afford him.
Dude, the Kings have
like $72 million locked up for next year already.
Right.
They're done. The Kings are in trouble, man. The Kings are a sinking ship.
Right.
Sell your stock in the LA Kings now.
But still, even somebody like St. Louis or Colorado, like
Carolina.
Or Carolina. Like, so some team that can afford to wait the
year.
Yeah, but
how much does the price go down? That's the thing. Are you willing to trade Nylander for way less because the team that you're trading him to can't even use him this year?
Right.
His price has got to go way down.
Yeah, it goes down.
Right?
I don't know how much it goes down because they've shown to be really patient.
It cuts in half.
So, yeah, but they wouldn't trade him. They'll just wait until the next season, I think.
Sure.
So, I don't know. The whole situation's fascinating.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. We're now...
It's got 2 weeks left, right?
He's got 2 weeks, 13 days. Hmm. So 2 weeks from now, we'll know the answer. We'll talk about it on that show.
Right. It's weird.
In the meantime, you have to go in and play against John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Morgan Rielly, who, by the way...
He's playing really well.
...has matched his career high in goals.
Already.
And it's November.
Yeah.
He has 9 goals, which matches his career high. It took 20 games.
Right. Nah, he's playing out
it's
of his
unreal.
Mind.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Remember when everyone thought he was going to be the next Erik Karlsson, the next Brett Burns, the next Shane Gostisbehere, you know, the year that Ghost broke out?
Right.
But he's doing it now.
Yeah,
turns out all he needed was John Tavares.
That's it.
That's all he needed. This team is their power play is ridiculous.
It's insane. Yeah.
And the Flyers' penalty kill, as we all know,
stinks.
Is not good.
No, not good at all.
It is not good.
No.
Flyers better play a clean game on Saturday.
Yeah, because if you spend time in the box, you're going to lose that game.
You're not scoring.
No.
Yeah. I agree. That game is going to come down to penalty minutes. The Flyers can hang with that team if they play a clean game. I don't know if they can necessarily beat them.
I don't know.
I'm not sitting here and homering my way into, they're going to beat them 6-0. Like, no.
Like, they can
hang with them.
I don't know. I just think the Flyers...
If Matthews isn't back.
Right. Like, I just don't know if this Flyers team's really all that good. Like, I mean, I know they went in the little 6-0-1 or 5-0-1, whatever it was. They didn't beat anybody. So then they came back. They played Florida first, that has a little bit of speed and skill. You lose. They play Jersey, who really has always had a reputation for playing with structure. Whether they have skill and speed, it's a different situation. But they've always played with structure.
Sure.
Then you lose that game. Then you play to Tampa. You're down 5-1. Granted, you come back. A couple interesting bounces.
Getting the point out of that game is huge.
I mean, you should have never been in that position to begin with. But again, Tampa's leaps and bounds better than
you. You don't expect to beat Tampa.
No.
You don't expect to really get a point out of Tampa.
Right, so you lose 3 in a row to good teams. So... Or teams with reputations that, you know, have always really been good.
Yeah.
So
it's tough to call them good teams.
I mean, Florida has speed and skill, so
right.
I'd be willing to call them a good team. And New Jersey, like I said, have always played with structure. So, and they blanked you 3-0. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to call New Jersey a good team.
I didn't say they were good, but they play with structure.
No,
they always keep everything to the outside. They play a really good defensive game.
I understand.
And that's been their game for nearly a decade. So
yeah. Yeah, that's fair. They've had a pretty tough structure in place, and they've always played. You know, there's a brand to New Jersey Devils hockey.
Right,
that means something. But yeah, it's gonna be another tough week for the Flyers. Three tough games against weird opponents, right? Like the Sabres are good.
Yeah, and I always forget the Sabres even exist.
The Rangers are good. They're okay. That's weird, man.
Are they?
I don't know.
I mean, everybody expected this team to be at the bottom, and like right now I think they're in the second or third place in
Did the Flyers get a fighting major this week? And if so, in which game?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably not, because this team's soft as hell.
It's tough to say soft.
They're soft.
Okay.
They just don't really show. I mean, again, I'm not going to go the hard angle because they showed a little bit on Saturday. But they're just not a tough physical.
No, Hart's not there. He's in Lehigh Valley.
There you go. But like I think it was the Braden Point goal that Provera. Did he score?
Yeah, he did. He has 5 goals in his last 2 games. He's unreal.
Okay. The one in front of the net that was the easiest goal he'll ever score in his life because sure. Provorov got completely muscled off the puck.
Yep.
Or off the play or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the Provorov there just has to be stronger. I mean, it's just that simple. Yeah, well, so I mean, this team just saw it.
I know we talked about Provorov a little bit. That's not a mental thing.
No, I mean, that play isn't. No.
Specifically that example.
Yeah. Like a lot of mistakes he's been making have been mental. So but again, that play, you just gotta, you can't let 5'8" Braden Point,
right,
you know, bump you off the play there.
Provorov has given me 2 good seasons. I'm willing to be a little patient with him.
I think there's concern there though, for sure.
Yeah, I think the move of putting him with Hag is actually really good for him.
He hasn't really been playing that good. Like,
But Hag is fairly responsible defensively. You willing to say that?
Whereas yeah.
if you kept him with Ghost is going to jump into the play, and then when he turns it over and the puck break the, you know, the play breaks the other way, now it's 3-on-1 and the one is Provorov.
I wouldn't.
Whereas now he's not in that position quite as much.
No,
because Hag is back there.
Still, I wouldn't be opposed to putting them back together, Ghost and Provorov, because I mean they separated them because neither of them were really playing all that well.
Separation needed to happen. I liked,
yeah. But listen, it's happened long enough where really changed though.
I liked that separation. I like what it's done.
Yeah, but nothing's really changed though. And when they were together last year, I mean they were damn near dominant. So I mean,
but they're not the same players they were last year.
Go back to that well though, because I mean you've seen them apart, and nothing's really been all that different.
I think if the team still looks lethargic this week, then you'll see that pairing.
You'll see something.
Then you'll see that, because I know that we've talked about the coaching staff a lot on this show, and the internet has talked about it ad nauseum. This year specifically, the coaching staff has shown a willingness to mix it up. Fallen in, Hag and McDonald, or Hag and Provorov, and they're willing to play with lines. They're willing to move things around.
Yeah, and even in the game JVR came back, they played Ove Kubel and sat Laterra.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Jure Laterra was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
That's what this fan base has been clamoring for 2 years.
Right.
Now,
and Laterra hasn't even been playing bad.
If we can get to the point where Laterra and McDonald are both healthy scratches at the same time, this fan base is going to lose their mind.
Right.
But
I still don't like his play style and the structure that he has. The coach, sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I still don't like that aspect of it. But yeah, people will lay off of him on the lineup decisions if that was to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's earned a little bit of rope. I'm not saying he's, you know, off the leash.
But he's not off the leash, but I think he's seen it for 4 years.
I think he's earned a little bit of wiggle room. Is that fair to say?
I don't know if that's the case, or if people just recognize it's not really going to happen, so people are going to start to lay off the scenario.
True. Yeah,
but people are going, oh, this isn't happening, so why get worked up over it?
And before we dive down this rabbit hole again, because we've done this a lot, you know about what we feel about the Flyers, so we're going to wrap up our Flyers talk for the week. Before we transition, friendly reminder that you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast and tell us what you think. Now we're going to get into some Eagles talk, because we both have to eat a little crow about our Eagles predictions from last week. Because boy, that was ugly. But before that, we bring you the return of 7 or 6 seconds, where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
Jimmy Butler is finding ways to make me watch the Sixers, hitting the game-winning shot against the Hornets in overtime on Saturday.
And I'm not watching. Moving on. So the Eagles. Well, I did watch the Eagles.
Unfortunately.
And I'm disappointed that I did. I knew they were losing. I knew they were losing that Cowboys game at halftime.
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, they just didn't play well at all in any aspect of the game.
Now, to be fair, neither offense played particularly well. The Eagles' defense actually played okay.
In the first half.
Yeah.
But then...
kept them in the game.
Right.
Which is all you need.
Exactly.
It's all you need your defense to do.
And then when the offense started to string up a couple of decent drives in the second half, the defense faltered.
Yeah.
There was another drive where it was like a 3rd and 15, and Schwartz plays the whole block of the first line, everybody back 15, 20 yards.
Yeah, that's
play. That doesn't seem to work ever, but he keeps doing it for some reason.
No, you know how Flyers fans criticize the coach for sitting back too much?
Yeah.
That's the football equivalent.
Yeah. And people are losing their minds over this now. I mean, it's happening a lot. It happened.
People are calling for Jim Schwartz's job.
Yeah. It happened in the Tennessee game. It happened in Tampa, I believe.
But it cost you all those games.
Yeah, it has.
All those games you could have won.
Yep. But you played it conservative. You played it soft. And, like, the concerning part about the Eagles is, one, the defense has to force some turnovers. And, I mean, last year during the Super Bowl run, I think they were plus 11 in turnover differential.
It was unreal, yeah.
This season, they're minus 6.
Have we come to grips yet with the fact that the Eagles aren't going to make the playoffs?
I don't know, because, like, I don't think people don't think the Redskins are for real.
People don't want to admit it.
And people don't think the Redskins are for real. Like, people are just waiting for the Redskins to just lose out. Just because they're just not a good football team.
And to be fair,
they're just not.
They might.
They might. I mean,
to be fair, but at that point,
they still have to win.
The Eagles, like, still have to win games.
Right.
Like, you're not making the playoffs at 6-10.
No, and I hate to break it to you, tonight or this afternoon, this game, this is the hardest game they're going to have to play all year.
If the Eagles win this game, I'll say this now. We're recording. It is currently 10:24 a.m. If the Eagles win this game, they're making the playoffs. If they lose this game, they're missing the playoffs.
That's a big if.
The Eagles season comes down to today. If you prove that you can beat the Saints,
the best team in football,
in New Orleans, you're winning the division. You're making the playoffs. This is your chance to put up or shut up.
Right. They also have the Rams left to play. Like, they have really good teams left to play.
But if you lose this game, you're done. You're at 7 losses on the season?
Something like
that. Are they 4-6?
Yeah.
The Eagles are 4-6. If this is your 7th loss, you're done. You're done. You're not winning out and beating everybody.
Right. They're 4-5.
4-5. Okay. So you go to 6 losses on the season?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Redskins are 6-3.
Yeah. And so, who do the Redskins have today? Can you look that up for me?
The Houston.
It's probably a win.
Houston's playing good, though. It's, I mean, they've won.
Washington 6-3.
I understand. So is Houston's right around there, too.
But I'm just saying, like, if Washington wins that game and the Eagles lose this game,
Houston 6-3, but have won the last 6 in a row. They started the year 0-3. They won 6 straight.
Wow. If the Redskins win today, they move to 7-3. The Eagles will be sitting at 4-6. Like, you're not winning that. You're not catching them.
No. And like I said, the Saints are the best team in football. They just are. Their offense is insane. Drew Brees doesn't have to throw the ball for 400 yards every game because their running game's solid. Their defense is solid.
Today's a playoff game.
They are also the biggest Super Bowl defending underdogs the season after in, like, the last 9 years.
Good. They should be. They suck.
Yeah. So, like, the last 9 years, I forget who it was, but it was 9 years ago. So.
Yeah. This is a playoff game. For all intents and purposes, this is a playoff game.
Sure.
You lose this game, you're done.
And we've seen how Drew Brees handles the Eagles in the playoffs. Go back to 2016, 15?
Yeah, but it's not a playoff game for the Saints. That's the difference.
Yeah, but, like, the thing is, people are...
This is Carson Wentz's first playoff game.
No, but people are expecting the Saints inevitably have a letdown game, right? That's what people keep saying. And people said that was going to happen last game when they played the Bengals.
People said the same thing about the Eagles last year.
I mean, sure. But they said it last week when the Saints played the Bengals, and the Saints only blow them out like 51-16 or something. 51-14, whatever the score was. So I don't know if the Saints are ever going to have a letdown game. They're the best team in football. They're just ridiculous. They can put up 45 in their sleep.
Yeah.
So I think this game's going to get very ugly very quick.
You think so? Well, give me a score.
Yeah, and clearly I know a whole bunch about this because I predicted
clearly
an
Eagles
blowout last week.
Clearly we both know nothing about football, right?
Yeah.
Give me a score.
Like I said, I don't think it's close. So, and it pains me to say it. I'm going to go 45-17.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I sure am going to be a homer about this.
Of course you are.
Well, listen,
big shocker there.
Let me break this down. If the Saints are going to have a letdown game, which, again, I don't necessarily think they are, I think this Eagles team is a team that can make it happen. I think if the Eagles are going to win, it's going to be ugly. And I think it'll be 23-20 Eagles.
Okay. I just don't see a way in which this Saints team only scores 20 points.
I know. Well, you're going to need the defense to step up. This is a playoff game.
Yeah, but how many times have they stepped up this season?
They need to.
Not much.
I know they haven't.
And the disappointing part about this team is also about the defense is
now you start
their defensive line, which is supposed to be the best part of the defense, hasn't done anything this year.
Right.
Nothing.
So that's what I'm saying. Now they're playing for jobs. Now you're starting to look towards next year. And if you play like crap, they're cutting you.
Yeah, but even if they play good, Drew Brees is good enough and he's a Hall of Famer and he's probably going to win the MVP this year, that he's just going to pick you apart.
I know.
So I don't see this
game being close. I'm probably wrong about this, but I want us to split our picks so one of us has a chance of being right. So last week we both predicted an Eagles blowout and it didn't really work out.
So did the world. And yeah. The Eagles just didn't play well at all. I mean, they made Dak Prescott look awesome.
Look like a real quarterback.
Yeah, which he's not. He stinks.
No, he's awful. He sucks.
Yeah. And I'm tired of seeing Zeke's face. Like, he's just face it. His face annoys me. Like the stupid eat him up celebration that he does every first down. Like, I just want to smack him right upside his stupid grin.
And on that note,
I hate Ezekiel Elliott. Such a tool. Like, at least Barkley, I like. At least Barkley, I respect. Because he's not a giant flaming douchebag.
You can let us know what you think of Ezekiel Elliott on Twitter at YWT.
I assume the fan base feels the exact same way.
YWT podcast. You can tell me at K Collington, and you can let Mike know at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, Spotify, and YouTube. Our art was created for us by Ben at BennyTheJet55. And that's about it. On that note, we're going to end with a Go Birds, because we always do. I say the Flyers go 1-1-1 this week.
1-3.
All right. And on that note, we'll see you next week.